We're believing God for bringing us powerful impartations. And man, have we not experienced it already? We've seen that thus far this month. Don't you miss Thursday night? You come here, Pastor J.C. Church. Anybody with that kind of name has to bring an anointing. And I want you to show up and be supportive and say, Pastor, we're not going to leave you hanging. That'll be Thursday night at 7. But this morning, Pastor Johnny Wade Sloan has pastored in Lorraine for many, many years at Broadway Assembly. Went on to Hamilton Christian Center. He's been there now 26 years. He's a prophet. He's an apostle. He has deep revelation of God's word. He's traveled the world. He's getting ready to go to Armenia. And they're going to conduct pastors' conferences and minister to churches throughout that region. I think this morning we ought to get up on our feet and welcome Pastor Johnny Wade Sloan all the way from Hamilton, Ohio.
All right, Pastor.
Love you. Love you.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Louis and Tina. Had such wonderful fellowship with the Kansans last night, and just really looking forward to today and sharing this message with you, and then going over at noon to Valley View. So if you know somebody that slept in late, you can call them and tell them to meet us at Valley View at noon. But it's so good to see you. And I know I have lots of friends in Lake Erie, and it's always a joy to be brought back. Our family as well. Our sons are full-time pastors and doing extremely well. And God has just blessed our family so much. We're a family of ministers. Pastor Diane and myself and Pastor Marty and Pastor Sean are four ordained preachers. And my boys came up the same way that I believe in, at the lowest level, and worked their way up. And Pastor Marty is pastoring an incredible church. And it's just incredible what God is doing in our lives. I want to tell you, I can read, should I say the tea leaves? I don't read tea leaves. But I can read the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, there is an exceptional presence of God. Now, maybe it's not exceptional for you. You may have it every Sunday morning here. But today is your day. Today is your day. And everything's going to be well. Today is your day. We're hearing thousands of words every day, and we're starting to kind of just dull our hearing to words. So I don't want to just share words. I want today to connect with your heart from my heart and give you what I believe is the Word of God that can affect you right now. I don't want to talk about things that are irrelevant. I want to talk about where we are right now. But sometimes you can understand now better if you go back to an old story from the Word of God. And I'm going to do that today. I'm going back to Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. It's a very old story, but the truth here works for today, right here, right now. And I want to lay out a principle here, and then we're going to develop that principle in another Bible story and even in the New Testament, and show you that God is working in your life on your behalf far more than you are ever aware of. And I am excited about that. Now, I'll kind of skim through Joshua and Jericho because everybody knows it. Joshua 6, verses 1 to 2. Jericho was securely shut up. Nobody could come in. Nobody could go out. And it was in a situation like that where there was a stalemate. A stalemate. And God said to Joshua, see. Everybody say see.
See.
I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. And he then went on to give him how they were going to do it. You're going to march around the city. You're going to march around it one time a day for 6 days, and then you're going to march seven times the seventh day. And the seventh day, the priests shall blow the trumpets. Now, this is not military strategy. You don't usually say what we're going to do is we're going to bring all of our soldiers and we're going to play them a tune on our trumpet. That is not how you win battles. But the Lord said, it'll come to pass that when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, the people shall shout. It is the shout of the people that brought the walls down. He said, when you give the shout, the walls will come down. So the trumpet, the word of God today, is the ram's horn. And I want to speak with that trumpet voice today. And at some point, you're going to need to hear that in your spirit and give a shout in your spirit, because that's what will bring down the barriers, the bondages, and all of the burdens and things that you battle. Now, the insight, the reason I had this story was for one verse only. The insight is verse 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. Church, you have to see your victory. Let's say it again. See your victory. You know, if you can't see it, it's probably not going to happen. If all you see is failure and bankruptcy and a city that's less inhabited and all, if you can't see the victory, if you can't get it here, then you're not going to experience it. You have to see it. But behind the scenes is where the real story's at. I gave you the cover story, but I want to give you the real story. Because you see, real battles are fought in the spirit realm. And the story behind the Joshua story is that he met the real commander of the Lord's army. So back up. Go left if you're in a Bible, or your iPad or your iPhone. By the way, just go ahead and text somebody and tell them that you're here and wish they were too. And back up to chapter 5, verse 13. This is the story behind the scenes. This is what happened just before Joshua was told to see that he had the victory. This is the real story. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man opposite him. And the man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand, a military, a soldier. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you Ferris or are you Guinness?" I used to didn't read it that way, but I pastor close to Kentucky now. Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And you've been there. Every pastor's been there. Every president's been there. Anybody that has done anything significant in the world has been there. When you see somebody, you're trying to figure out, are you for me or are you against me? I love the answer. Here's the answer. He said, no, I'm not against you. No, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." Sort of like the Moses experience at the burning bush. And Joshua did so. Joshua had a theophany. The Lord himself appeared to Joshua. Now, it's one thing to go out and march your soldiers around a city one time a day for 6 days, and then a seventh day go around seven times, and then blow trumpets and then start shouting. But it's something else to know that you know that you know that you've had an encounter with God and that God has told you you're going to win the victory. when you walk out there and try to just say the words, thus saith the Lord, and all of that, you can get in trouble. You can get your clothes ripped off of you. Do you know that? Oh, yeah, you can get your clothes ripped off of you. You see, there were some early disciples of Paul. They ran into some demon-possessed people. And they said, come out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. That's what they said. And the Bible said, Jesus, we know, and Paul, we know, but who in hell are you? Well, they're from hell, folks. You guys are just fixing to have hell. Don't get shook up about the hell word. The demons were from hell. And so they're like, who are you? And they latched on them and ripped their clothes off. And those poor preachers had to run off naked. Now, that's what the Bible says. See, folks, it's not enough to go through motions. It's not enough to just have a ritual. You can't just get a formula and say, now this is the prayer book that if you pray this prayer, you'll be free from depression. It's way more than tools and tactics and strategy. It's way more than that. It is behind the scenes, your spirit encountering the living God and you hearing from the living God, and then you're able to step out. And I want to tell you something. Once you've heard from the living God, it really don't matter much what you do. David had a sling. Joshua has a trumpet. I mean, it really doesn't matter what you do when you've heard from God. But you can go to every seminar, conference, and learn everything there is to learn. You can try to smile like Joel Osteen. I do my best. It just won't work. You can do anything and everything, but I'm telling you what works always will work. It's you, the God you know talking to you. And when the God you know talks to you, then things happen. Your personal intimacy with God determines the impact you will make on other people. Your personal intimacy with God determines the impact you will make on other people. It's not the outward. It's the behind the scenes. Did you know there's a spirit realm right here? Did you know we're compassed about by a great cloud of witnesses and there are angels in this room? And you and I, you know, we look around and see Billy and Susie and Pete and Tom. But did you know that if our eyes could really be opened, we would see angels? We would see angels, and we would see sometimes warring angels, and we would see things happen. There is a spirit realm. The spirit realm is as real as this realm. The Bible said to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Paul said, I know a man that was caught up into the third heaven, whether he was in his body or out of his body, I could not tell. He was talking about himself when he was caught up into the third heaven. I want you to know that this world is not bricks and mortar. It's not wood and stone. It's not metal and steel and plastic and Teflon. I want you to know the real world is spirit. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it came to pass, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the water. Our whole natural world was created by the presence of the living God. The Bible says in Hebrews, by faith we know that by the word of God, the worlds were framed. And so the spirit world is very, very, very important. I know it's important in my life, and I think it's important in your life as well. And I want to go on down now from Joshua, and I want to mention a confirmation, because the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And one reason I believe in the Bible is it has not only 66 books, the Biblia, the Bible, it is also a book compiled by 40 different authors that lived over 1,600 years of time, and they all wrote a dovetailing message and a unified prophecy. What's wrong with some things is that only one person wrote them. And if I was going to just judge things on the value, I would look at the Book of Mormon and say one man wrote it. I'd look at the Quran and say one man wrote it. There's nothing to verify. God said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. God will never speak His will through only one person. Never. Even Jesus said, I'm only going to speak what the Father's told me. You know, there's the confirmation of the Father, the Son, the Spirit. So here we go. So I want to give you confirmation. I've told you that what is happening in the spirit realm is just as real as this, and it's more important. And it's where the battle is really won. Are we together on it?
Yes.
Let's see. Let's vote. The spirit realm is real. All right. And that's where the battle is really won. All right. Elisha, he had a servant. He was at a place called Dothan. It's another very old story, but the truth, it'll work right now, September 15th, right here in Lorain County. It's a confirming truth. Here's what happens. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 to 17. When the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Just like we've all been where Joshua was when he wanted to know, are you for me or are you against me? We've all been where we saw a circumstance and we went, what shall we do? What shall we do? After all, there's a whole army. There are all kinds of horses and chariots, and they're surrounded. Master, speaking to Elisha, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear. Faith and fear can't work together. The devil likes to scare you. He likes to threaten you. And let me tell you something. Anybody threatening you and trying to scare you are being used of the devil. Anybody threatening you and trying to scare you is being used by the devil. He said, do not fear, for those that are with us are more than those who are with them. Can you just imagine the dumbfounded look on this servant's face? He looks out and the whole city is surrounded by these chariots and horses and soldiers. And they don't have that kind of personnel. And this crazy prophet, he must be getting Alzheimer's or something, because he's looking out there and he's saying, wow, the ones with us, we got more with us than we got against us. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. It's not enough for the prophet to see it. You need to see it. It's not enough for Pastor Kayton to see it. You need to see it. It's not enough for Pastor Sloan to preach it. You need to see it. You have to see your victory to get your victory. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And here's what's kind of neat. Here's Elisha and his servant. And the enemy's got them surrounded. But guess what? When his eyes was opened up, he found out the enemy was surrounded by all of the hosts of heaven. So who was really in trouble was the enemy. Because they had a fiery prophet in the middle and heaven's angels around. Church, I want to tell you, there is more going on in the spirit realm than we're ever aware of. I even encourage people not to discount sleep. I closed my service Wednesday night down with my son, harvest time. And he'd asked me to teach on restoration since it was a 9/11 anniversary. And I said, if you leave here and you don't feel you've really received the healing, the reconciliation, or the restoration, then hurry home and go to bed quickly. Because the Bible talks numerous places of how during people's sleep, God worked in their life. And I had preached on Nehemiah that night, and I told how Nehemiah took a midnight ride to check out the damage. And sometimes when you and I are sleeping, the Holy Spirit, who neither slumbers nor sleeps, He is surveying the damage. And He's getting things in order. David said, I went to bed perplexed, but I woke up refreshed. Hallelujah. I went to bed perplexed. Sometimes the best thing you can do with the devil is tell him, good night. Just tell him, good night. See you in the morning when I'm refreshed. The spirit realm. The spirit realm. You know, I have kind of a unique testimony. And I always dreamed or always imagined that I was this troubled kid. And there's a big difference in me and my younger brother, Mark, who you know, he was born 8 years later, and there was a lot of things different. Because most of the greatest and severest things that happened to me happened by age 10. But I always thought I was this kid born into this dysfunctional family in a dysfunctional church and with a bunch of dysfunctional relatives. And Jesus saved me and delivered me. And from that point on, I began to be different. I want to tell you a story that's as true can be, and you can let it go in one ear and out the other, but I know what I know. In August of 1995, up in Toronto, Canada, I had the second trance I've ever been in my life. My first time was 15 years old when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit under pine trees at an old-fashioned camp meeting in the state of Arkansas, where my mother was from. Now, this Colorado kid just always assumed he was put in a bad situation, but Jesus took care of it. When I went out on this trance, I was as alive as I've ever been. But I couldn't hear any of the worship. I couldn't hear any of the people. I was out, I don't know how long. I know they said when I was 15 years old that I was out 2 hours. I don't know. And you don't have to go in a trance. I've only had two. And I've sure begged God for a few more, but you know what I mean. You get in a bad thing. Put me in a trance. You've been there. So I was just like a spirit in God's presence. And God said, would you like to relive the first time you felt my presence? Yes. And in my spirit, I said, yes, let me re-experience the first time I felt your presence. And I remembered my mother said I was 4 years old when I told her I was a preacher. I've never not known I wasn't a preacher. I've always known I was a preacher. And I know I was 6 years old when I'd been kidnapped, actually the second time I was kidnapped, and I'd been held in a mountain cabin 1,000 miles away from my mom, And I remember kneeling down at the mattress, which was the only furniture that was in the room to sleep on, and had my brother, 2 years younger than me, with me. And I remember kneeling and praying and saying, God, I want to go back to Colorado. Send the sheriff today to take me home. And that afternoon, big old sheriff's car pulled up in the driveway. So I thought, maybe that's the first time I really felt his presence, because I experienced an answer to prayer. But then all of a sudden, I was just taken way out. I'm telling it as it is. It's my testimony. The Bible's full of testimonies like this. I know what happened to me. And all of a sudden, I felt so much love, so much acceptance, and so totally whole. And I heard a voice, and it said, I've chosen you, and let me tell you about the family I'm going to send you to. You talk about a paradigm shift. You talk about a paradigm shift. Not a little boy born in a messed up family that Jesus rescues. Now, a chosen person to be sent. And I began to realize that I'd never felt God so strong, and I was not yet formed. And I felt myself form inside my mother's womb, and I began to hear sounds outside my mother's womb, and I was birthed through the birth canal and saw my father for the first time. And before I was birthed, the Spirit of God said, let me tell you about the Father that I'm sending you to. And see, I see it all different than I ever saw it before. Well, 6 months after that, I was watching television on the Learning Channel, and they were doing all kinds of medical stuff, and they put a camera into the woman's stomach, abdomen, and they said, we're going to now take this camera down and out through the birth canal. This was 6 months after my experience. And what I saw on that television was almost a perfect replica of what I'd seen. Now, I'm an analytical person. So if I'd have seen the TV show first and then had the spiritual experience, I'd have said, that ain't no spiritual experience. That's in my memory. But it was not. Well, I didn't know that God had a special plan for that. I told that testimony somewhere, and Rob Shank heard it. And he said, Johnny, you got to come to the service for the memorial for the unborn. And it so happened the day they put me there to speak at Georgetown University, the day they put me there to speak, Norma McCorvey was the real draw card. You know who she is? Jane Roe. Jane Roe. You know, she was used to dehumanize babies in this nation. But she later became a Christian. And everybody was there. CNN, everybody was there. They were all there. And they told her she had 5 minutes, and they told me I had 15. And 15 is like an hour in D.C. And so I quickly told that story. And I said, they say that abortion, you know, is a choice, but what about the person inside? Because I know that that person is living, because I was living. And I know that person is sent specifically for a reason. So if somebody would have said, if you're going to be born and you're going to be beat on and have lots of bloodshed, wouldn't you rather just be aborted? I'd have shouted, no, let me live, because I'm going to climb to the top of the Rocky Mountains. I'm going to watch the Continental Divide. I'm going to swim in the Pacific Ocean. I'm going to swim in the Indian Ocean. I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to enjoy a Pacific sunset and cut my own pineapple down in Hawaii. There's a lot of good things I'm going to do. Let me live. Let me live. I want you to know that you existed before you were ever formed. And that living Spirit of God's got a plan for your life. And I don't care what the devil's tried to do to you. I'm here to tell you those that are for you are more than those that are against you. I think I'll close with one more story. When I pastored in this town, these stories didn't get told. So maybe it's time they do. I had to basically flee for my life when I was 16. My father was very dysfunctional, and I loved him, and I did his funeral, and I understand his limitations. Poorly adapted socially. Longest he ever held one job was 8 months. When I'd worked at the gas station 9 months when I was 15, I was so proud of myself. All I've been is a pastor and pastored two churches, one for 13 and one for 26, and I'll be preaching when I die. So I believe in stickability. But there was a lot of friction there between he and I. I kind of fled for my life, nearly lost it that night. And I got in my little car and I cried all the way to the Colorado line. I drove down into Oklahoma. I went for some reason to Silasaw, Oklahoma. And I rented a house out in the country. And I went to school at Silasaw High School. And I worked at a gas station in the evenings and I preached on the weekends. But every day I walked through the woods to the edge of the Arkansas River and knelt at a rock. And every day I asked God for two things. Give me a good family. And give me an effective ministry. 20 miles down that river, it passes by 4 blocks of property. Flags of the nations lining the interstate, humongous 3,000-seat sanctuary, big youth building, Christian education school, everything you can imagine, television ministry, everything you could want. And my son is the pastor. God, here's two things I want to say, and I say to the Cajetans and all of you, two things I know I learned. God works through families. God didn't just call men, He called families. And God works on the long-range plan. So don't you get worried about what's staring you in the face right now. Behind the scenes, God is working on your behalf. And God will give you the dream of your heart and life. God bless you.
That was amazing. Wow.
Wow. Thank you, Pastor. You could be seated. Wow. I don't know about you, but I'm getting pumped up here, man. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. Woo! There is more happening around us than what's happening to us. Amen? Oh, my goodness. I got a feeling that was a word for us in Lorain County. You better get ready. Get ready to see your direction change, for the walls to come down. And for your dreams to come to pass, because God has not forgotten about you. Come on, look over at somebody and say, God will never forget you. I asked you earlier, if you could take one day, just one day, and make a difference in someone's life for eternity, would you do it? Many of you said, yes, I'll take one day. And I talked about the application of the theater drama, Trip to Hell. But I'm going to ask that question again. If you had an opportunity one day in your life to make a difference significantly in another person's life, would you take that opportunity by sowing into them financially? You know, I really believe, Pastor, your message, that story that you never told here, really needs to be spoken, because how many of us did that resonate with? Ooh, it resonated with me. The moment I broke my mother's womb, I began to experience the rejection of a family torn in two because of adultery. I became the object of scorn by many. As a result, I began to form my personality, and my experiences become marred by others' attitudes toward me. I misinterpreted that as that's the way life is, and often applied that to God. And why didn't you do something? Wow. We can all just go back and say, God, you knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. You have a perfect plan for me. Ladies and gentlemen, God's got a perfect plan for you. Don't you let this moment pass. Say, you know what? I'm going to get a hold of that word, and I'm going to plant a seed. And I believe that it's important that when you get words like that and you apply a sacrifice to it, it solidifies something in your life. That ordinarily you can just let it go and it may or may not affect you, or you may not even remember it by the time you watch the Browns beat up on the Ravens later this afternoon. I don't know. You maybe forget it. But if you sow a seed, if you attach a sacrifice to it, you become one with that word in a unique way, and it begins to resonate, grow, and cause you to think differently. So I'm going to ask you to do something significant today and sow into the life of my brother, Pastor Johnny Wade Sloan. If you're making a check, make it out to CNC. The instructions are there on the screen. Father, we're so grateful today that you are the God of eternity. And Lord, thank you that this world we live in is a spirit world. And Lord, we lift up our sights and we see into the realm of possibility and the realm, O God, of your kingdom come to earth. Touch the people now as they attach this seed to this word. And may it grow, may it go take deep root in their heart, and may they see the effects and the results and the fruit of it for many, many days. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may receive that. And while we're doing that, let me encourage you, folks. Hey, I'm telling you, we are going for the jugular of the enemy this fall. Not only are we going to reach souls every weekend for 5 successive weekends with Trip to Hell. Not only are we going to throw Billy Graham a birthday party in your home, and you're going to invite people, and you're going to begin to look up and write down what names of people that you should invite. You're going to look ahead and plan. And we're going to begin to see how God's going to work, and many folks are going to come to Christ. But concurrently with Trip to Hell, when people get saved in building number 4 on Tuesday night, right after that first weekend, Alpha begins. And Alpha is a unique approach to bringing people into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They'll sit around in an unassuming atmosphere where they'll be able to share around a table and a meal, listen to a video teaching, and begin to answer the questions that are perplexing a generation. And we want you to take advantage of it. So you get a hold of somebody from work, maybe your neighborhood, get a hold of somebody and say, listen, why don't you come to Alpha? Why don't you be a part of this? God has a plan for your life. I have a quick video, and then we're going to close in prayer, that I want you to look at right now at this moment. I want everybody to bow your head with me for a moment, please. As we consider our future, as we consider the next hour of this day, not necessarily tomorrow. We're not going to discount this very moment. I often ask myself the question, if I were to die today, do I know that I would go to heaven? Or am I uncertain about my eternal future? You say, well, you're the pastor. You should know that. You know, when I begin to consider my life, I constantly have to lean back in faith on the finished work of Christ. And I think, thank you, Lord. One day I'll be with you forever. See, I'm no different than you. And you may be sitting here this morning wondering if you were to die, whether you'd go to heaven or hell. But you know what? You're saying to yourself, I want God. I want significance. I want purpose. I want direction in my life. I need help. I need God's love. I cried that once. I cried that many times. And God's always faithful to answer me, and He'll answer you. And as you sit here today contemplating your future, you'd say, hey, Pastor, would you pray for me? I really need God's love. More than I've ever needed Him before. And I want to receive that love today. I'm going to count to three, and it's a simple little program. It's a simple little approach. When I hit three, I want you to do something. If you want that prayer, you want God's love, you want heaven and not hell, you want God and not the devil, you'd lift that hand up, hold it there for a minute, and then put it down. Are you ready? It's going to be a simple thing. So all you got to do is acknowledge your need. One, two, three. If that's you, hold it up. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you back there, there as well. Thank you there. Anyone else? You can put your hands down. I did a funeral this past week, and a young man, 41 years of age, if you look up at me for just a minute, he said, let me tell you a story, preacher. He said, 20-some years ago, I was sitting in the sanctuary in the old building. There was this young preacher up there. He said, you. And you were giving an altar call. Man, I put my head down because I'd been drinking the night before and I used drugs and I didn't want anything to do with God. I was just there because my family made me come. So I put my head down and I went, whew, I made it. But then you ask a second time. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's asking a second time. I started getting nervous. He said, but I just held my ground. But then you asked one more time. He said, I couldn't believe it. You said, I feel in my heart there's a young man here that needs to give his life to Christ. He said, you got me. He said, I walked the aisle that day and my life has never been the same. I want you to know we're involved in ministry. My family's saved. My children are saved. My 17-year-old daughter is called to ministry. And it was that day that changed my future. You may be sitting here today and you say, you know what, Pastor? I didn't raise my hand the first time, but doggone it, don't ask again. I'm going to ask one more time. You didn't respond the first time. If you did, don't do it a second time. But you say, you know what? I want that prayer. I need God's love. Ready? You did it already. Don't do it again. One, this is for the person that was like David. You held out, but you know you need that prayer. Two, three, lift it up high so I can see it. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right? Amen. Come on, let's all stand up to our feet. Altar ministers, would you join me around the front of this room? Those of you that raise your hand, maybe you need personal ministry. Maybe you need a prophetic utterance. Our prophetic team is going to be here as well. So they'll begin to wait on the Lord and just speak words of life into you and just give you hope and give you a future, console you, comfort you, and just give you exhortation. And you say, Pastor, I need that prayer. You raise your hand. Please, before you go that way, would you come this way? Because God's got a great plan for your future, just like He did for Pastor Johnny, just like He did for me, just like He did for countless others that are standing around you. We believe that God is going to do great things in your life. So right now I'm going to ask, if you raise your hand, would you please come and just join in prayer with one of these around the front of the altar? Would you do it right now? Come on. Everybody put your hands together. Let's encourage them. Come on. If you raise your hand, would you come forward? Let us pray with you and believe God. That God is God, a great future for your life. Amen? Come on, look over at somebody and say, did you raise your hand? I'll go with you. It's not that hard. I'll go with you. And then take them by the hand and walk them to the front. You know, we want to say this morning. Thank you for being a part of Church on the North Coast. If you want more information about us, check us out on the website, cnclove.org. Don't forget Thursday night, ladies and gentlemen. We want you to be here. Help me out as a preacher. You know what it's like when you have a special guest in. You want them to meet the family. I want you to be introduced to Pastor J.C. Church, and I want him to get to know who you are as well. So that'll be Thursday night at 7. Live right. Come on, tell me. Love everybody. And what? Pray hard. See you next time right here, Church on the North Coast. God bless you all.